Chapter 10. Nicholas starts for Yorkshire. Of his leave-taking, and his fellow travellers, and what befell him on the road, if tears dropped into a trunk were charms, to preserve its owner from sorrow and misfortune, Nicholas Nickleby would have commenced his expedition under most happy auspices. There was so much to be done, and so little time to do it in, so many kind words to be spoken, and such bitter pain in the hearts in which they rose to impede their utterance, that the little preparations for his journey were made mournfully indeed. 100 things which the anxious care of his mother and sister deemed indispensable for his comfort, Nicholas insisted on leaving behind, as they might prove of some after use, or might be convertible into money if occasion required. 100 affectionate contests on such points as these took place on the sad night which preceded his departure, and, as the termination of every angerless dispute brought them nearer and nearer to the close of their slight preparations, Kate grew busier and busier, and wept more silently. The box was packed at last, and then there came supper, with some little delicacy provided for the occasion, and as a set-off against the expense of which, Kate and her mother had feigned to dine when Nicholas was out. The poor lady nearly choked himself by attempting to partake of it, and almost suffocated himself in affecting a jest or two, and forcing a melancholy laugh. Thus, they lingered until the hour of separating for the night was long past, and then they found that they might as well have given vent to their real feelings before, for they could not suppress them, do what they would. So, they let them have their way, and even that was a relief. Nicholas slept well till 6 next morning, dreamed of home, or of what was home once, no matter which, for things that are changed or gone will come back as they used to be, thank God. In sleep and rose quite brisk and gay. He wrote a few lines in pencil, to say the goodbye which he was afraid to pronounce himself, and laying them, with half his scanty stock of money, at his sister's door, shouldered his box and crept softly downstairs. Is that you, Hannah? ... cried a voice from Miss La Creevy's sitting room, whence shone the light of a feeble candle. It is I, Miss La Creevy, ... said Nicholas, putting down the box and looking in. Bless us! ... exclaimed Miss La Creevy, starting, and putting her hand to her curl papers. You're up very early, Mr. Nickleby. ... so are you, ... replied Nicholas. It's the fine arts that bring me out of bed, Mr. Nickleby, ... returned the lady. I'm waiting for the light to carry out an idea. ... Miss La Creevy had got up early to put a fancy nose into a miniature of an ugly little boy, destined for his grandmother in the country, who was expected to bequeath him property if he was like the family. To carry out an idea, ... repeated Miss La Creevy. And that's the great convenience of living in a thoroughfare like the Strand. When I want a nose or an eye for any particular sitter, I have only to look out of window and wait till I get one. ... Does it take long to get a nose now? ... inquired Nicholas, smiling. Why, that depends in a great measure on the pattern, ... replied Miss La Creevy. Snubs and Romans are plentiful enough, and there are flats of all sorts and sizes, when there's a meeting at Exeter Hall, but perfect aquilines, I am sorry to say, are scarce, and we generally use them for uniforms or public characters. ... Indeed. ... said Nicholas. If I should meet with any in my travels, I'll endeavor to sketch them for you. ... You don't mean to say that you are really going all the way down into Yorkshire this cold winter's weather, Mr. Nickleby? ... said Miss La Creevy. I heard something of it last night. ... I do, indeed, ... replied Nicholas. Needs must, you know, when somebody drives. Necessity is my driver, and that is only another name for the same gentleman. ... Well, I am very sorry for it, that's all I can say, ... said Miss La Creevy, as much on your mother's and sister's account as on yours. Your sister is a very pretty young lady, Mr. Nickleby, and that is an additional reason why she should have somebody to protect her. I persuaded her to give me a sitting or two for the street door case. Ah, she'll make a sweet miniature. Apostrophe as Miss La Creevy spoke, she held up an ivory countenance intersected with very perceptible sky blue veins, and regarded it with so much complacency that Nicholas quite envied her. If you ever have an opportunity of showing Kate some little kindness, apostrophe said Nicholas, presenting his hand, I think you will. Apostrophe, depend upon that, apostrophe said the good-natured miniature painter. And God bless you, Mr. Nickleby, and I wish you well. Apostrophe, it was very little that Nicholas knew of the world, but he guessed enough about its ways to think that if he gave Miss La Creevy one little kiss, perhaps she might not be the less kindly disposed towards those he was leaving behind. So, he gave her three or four with a kind of jocose gallantry, and Miss La Creevy evinced no greater symptoms of displeasure than declaring, as she adjusted her yellow turban, that she had never heard of such a thing, and couldn't have believed it possible. Having terminated the unexpected interview in this satisfactory manner, Nicholas hastily withdrew himself from the house. By the time he had found a man to carry his box, it was only 7 o'clock, so he walked slowly on, a little in advance of the porter, and very probably with not half as light a heart in his breast as the man had, although he had no waistcoat to cover it with, and had evidently, from the appearance of his other garments, been spending the night in a stable, and taking his breakfast at a pump. Regarding, with no small curiosity and interest, all the busy preparations for the coming day which every street and almost every house displayed, and thinking, now and then, that it seemed rather hard that so many people of all ranks and stations could earn a livelihood in London, and that he should be compelled to journey so far in search of one, Nicholas speedily arrived at the Saracen's Head, Snow Hill. Having dismissed his attendant, and seen the box safely deposited in the coach office, he looked into the coffee room in search of Mr. Squeers. He found that learned gentleman sitting at breakfast, with the three little boys before noticed, and two others who had turned up by some lucky chance since the interview of the previous day, ranged in a row on the opposite seat. Mr. Squeers had before him a small measure of coffee, a plate of hot toast, and a cold round of beef, but he was at that moment intent on preparing breakfast for the little boys. This is 2 pennyworth of milk, is it, waiter? ? Said Mr. Squeers, looking down into a large blue mug, and slanting it gently, so as to get an accurate view of the quantity of liquid contained in it. That's 2 pennyworth. Sir, apostrophe replied the waiter. What a rare article milk is, to be sure, in London. ? Said Mr. Squeers, with a sigh. Just fill that mug up with lukewarm water, William, will you? ? To the worry top, sir? ? Inquired the waiter. Why, the milk will be drowned. ? Never you mind that, replied Mr. Squeers. Serve it right for being so dear. You ordered that thick bread and butter for three, did you? ? Coming directly, sir. ? You needn't hurry yourself, said Squeers. There's plenty of time. Conquer your passions, boys, and don't be eager after victuals. ? As he uttered this moral precept, Mr. Squeers took a large bite out of the cold beef, and recognized Nicholas. Sit down, Mr. Nickleby, ? Said Squeers. Here we are, a break-feasting you see. ? Nicholas did not see that anybody was break-feasting, except Mr. Squeers, but he bowed with all becoming reverence, and looked as cheerful as he could. Oh, that's the milk and water, is it, William? ? Said Squeers. Very good. Don't forget the bread and butter presently. ? At this fresh mention of the bread and butter, the five little boys looked very eager, and followed the waiter out, with their eyes. Meanwhile Mr. Squeers tasted the milk and water. Ah! Apostrophe apostrophe said that gentleman, smacking his lips, here's richness. Think of the many beggars and orphans in the streets that would be glad of this, little boys. A shocking thing, hunger, isn't it, Mr. Nickleby? Apostrophe apostrophe, very shocking, sir, apostrophe said Nicholas. When I say number one, apostrophe pursued Mr. Squeers, putting the mug before the children, the boy on the left hand nearest the window may take a drink, and when I say number two, the boy next him will go in, and so till we come to number five, which is the last boy. Are you ready? Apostrophe apostrophe, yes, sir, apostrophe cried all the little boys with great eagerness. That's right, apostrophe said Squeers, calmly getting on with his breakfast. Keep ready till I tell you to begin. Subdue your appetites, my dears, and you've conquered human matter. This is the way we inculcate strength of mind, Mr. Nickleby, apostrophe said the schoolmaster, turning to Nicholas, and speaking with his mouth very full of beef and toast. Nicholas murmured something he knew not what in reply, and the little boys, dividing their gaze between the mug, the bread and butter which had by this time arrived, and every morsel which Mr. Squeers took into his mouth, remained with strained eyes in torments of expectation. Thank God for a good breakfast, apostrophe said Squeers, when he had finished. Number one may take a drink. Apostrophe, number one seized the mug ravenously, and had just drunk enough to make him wish for more, when Mr. Squeers gave the signal for number two, who gave up at the same interesting moment to number three, and the process was repeated until the milk and water terminated with number five. And now, apostrophe said the schoolmaster, dividing the bread and butter for three into as many portions as there were children, you had better look sharp with your breakfast, for the horn will blow in a minute or two, and then every boy leaves off. Apostrophe, permission being thus given to fall to, the boys began to eat voraciously, and in desperate haste. While the schoolmaster, who was in high good humor after his meal, picked his teeth with a fork, and looked smilingly on. In a very short time, the horn was heard. I thought it wouldn't be long, apostrophe said Squeers, jumping up and producing a little basket from under the seat. Put what you haven't had time to eat in here, boys. You'll want it on the road. Apostrophe, Nicholas was considerably startled by these very economical arrangements, but he had no time to reflect upon them, for the little boys had to be got up to the top of the coach, and their boxes had to be brought out and put in, and Mr. Squeers' luggage was to be seen carefully deposited in the boot, and all these offices were in his department. He was in the full heat and bustle of concluding these operations, when his uncle, Mr. Ralph Nickleby, accosted him. Oh, here you are, sir, apostrophe said Ralph. Here are your mother and sister, sir, apostrophe, where? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Nicholas, looking hastily round. Here, apostrophe, apostrophe, replied his uncle. Having too much money, and nothing at all to do with it, they were paying a hackney coach as I came up, sir. Apostrophe, we were afraid of being too late to see him, before he went away from us, apostrophe said Mrs. Nickleby, embracing her son, heedless of the unconcerned lookers-on in the coachyard. Very good, ma'am, apostrophe returned Ralph, you're the best judge of course. I merely said that you were paying a hackney coach. I never pay a hackney coach, ma'am. I never hire one. I haven't been in a hackney coach of my own hiring for 30 years, and I hope I shan't be for 30 more if I live as long. Apostrophe, I should never have forgiven myself if I had not seen him, apostrophe said Mrs. Nickleby. Poor dear boy going away without his breakfast too, because he feared to distress us. Apostrophe apostrophe, mighty fine certainly, apostrophe said Ralph, with great testiness. When I first went to business, ma'am, I took a penny loaf and a ha'porth of milk for my breakfast as I walked to the city every morning. What do you say to that, ma'am? Breakfast? Bah! Apostrophe, now, Nickleby, apostrophe said Squeers, coming up at the moment buttoning his greatcoat. I think you'd better get up behind. I'm afraid of one of them boys falling off, and then there's £20 a year gone. Apostrophe, dear Nicholas, apostrophe, whispered Kate, touching her brother's arm, who is that vulgar man? Apostrophe, apostrophe, eh? Apostrophe, apostrophe, growled Ralph, whose quick ears had caught the inquiry. Do you wish to be introduced to Mr. Squeers, my dear? Apostrophe, apostrophe, that the schoolmaster. No, uncle. Oh no. Apostrophe, replied Kate, shrinking back. I'm sure I heard you say as much, my dear, apostrophe, retorted Ralph in his cold sarcastic manner. Mr. Squeers, here's my niece, Nicholas's sister. Apostrophe, apostrophe, very glad to make your acquaintance, miss, apostrophe, said Squeers, raising his hat an inch or two. I wish Mrs. Squeers took gals, and we had you for a teacher. I don't know, though, whether she mightn't grow jealous if we had. Ha! 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 Apostrophe, if the proprietor of Doughboys Hall could have known what was passing in his assistant's breast at that moment, he would have discovered, with some surprise, that he was as near being soundly pummeled as he had ever been in his life. Kate Nickleby, having a quicker perception of her brother's emotions, led him gently aside, and thus prevented Mr. Squeers from being impressed with the fact in a peculiarly disagreeable manner. My dear Nicholas, apostrophe, said the young lady, who is this man? What kind of place can it be that you are going to? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I hardly know, Kate, apostrophe, replied Nicholas, pressing his sister's hand. I suppose the Yorkshire folks are rather rough and uncultivated, that's all. Apostrophe, but this person, apostrophe, urged Kate, is my employer, or master, or whatever the proper name may be, apostrophe, replied Nicholas quickly, and I was an ass to take his coarseness. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.